Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight is part two in our two programmes on prayer. Prayer is the only thing that we do now which we'll be doing for all eternity. In other words, having communion with God and other people. Last week we enjoyed some children's prayers with Cliff Richard's version of the Lord's Prayer. We're thinking about graces to be said at meals, and we finished with the Welsh male voice choir singing in its own inimitable style the Lord's Prayer. Well, tonight, let's take prayer a little further. Prayer can be done in private, with one or two people, in groups or in large gatherings, such as public worship on Sundays. Think of prayer as just talking to God and listening to God, communing together with Him and others. It can have lots of words, but it can also include silence, like two lovers sitting quietly, looking into each other's eyes. We live in an age when we've mobile phones, computers, text messages and everything, full of means of communicating, but sometimes, for all the technology, we struggle to just say what we're feeling to each other and to God. Prayer is often thought of as a boring non-event, but it should be the most exciting thing we ever do. Quality time with God. It's mind-boggling. Jesus and me alone together. I would like to be in the presence of Obama or the Queen. Here we have the King of Kings, and He has all the infinite attention, care for detail for just me. It was said of Moses that he would speak face to face with God as a man speaks with a friend, that he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. What a pity that we have not succeeded in communicating to our children. Just how exciting and what a privilege this praying is. Here's Catherine Jenkins singing the prayer.
Shadows fill our guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be saved. Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia e di speranza.
If you have problems in praying, consider this. God himself has his own problems too with prayer. He gets all kinds of people praying to him every day, and many of them drive him crazy. Here are some of his pet hate types. Let him explain. There's those who push the doorbell and run away kind of prayers. They rush up, ever so passionately, pour out their hearts in a torrent of words, and as soon as they've said all they want to say, they rush off in great haste without leaving me a word in reply. Then there are those that are too talkative. They bombard me with words and never let me get a word in. Then there's the wafflers, who after all is said and done, have said and done nothing, who speak nonsense, who talk in generalities and in circles, and who are vague, who never come out with exactly what they want to say, and they're never specific. Then there's the manipulators, or should I say godipulators, who try to twist me round their little finger, who try to be tactful and subtle with me. They do it both consciously and unconsciously. They can turn on the tears and the charm at will. And what about the moaners, who say things like, "No one loves me," "I know you're too busy for the likes of me," "I don't know why I bother, you never answer my prayers anyway." Then there's the wheelers and dealers. "If you get me out of my hospital bed, I'll attend your church every 6 months." Then there's the barrack room lawyers who stand on their rights, saying things like, "I know my rights. I know your duties and responsibilities. It's not right what you are doing. You are God. You have to love and forgive." And kind of associated with them, the supposed to be's, who say things like, "You're God. You're supposed to this and supposed to that." And what about the independent types? Maybe they're the worst of all, because they won't accept any help. The sort of people who won't call a doctor, who say things like, "I'm independent, you know. If it wasn't for my independence, I'd be one of those scroungers asking for help. But I don't want to be a burden to anyone. I know you're a busy God. You've plenty other more deserving, needy cases than me to worry about, so don't worry about me. I'll just struggle along. You go and help some other folk." I think prayer really begins to kick off when you know your need, and you're standing in the need of prayer, and from the heart you cry out, almost inarticulately, "God, Help. That's the next song from Dolly Parton, Hello God. She wrote this herself after 9/11, and you can feel it coming from the heart.
Hello God, are you out there? Can you hear me? Are you listening anymore? Hello God, if we're still on speaking terms, can you help me like before? I've questioned your existence. My resistance leaves me cold. Can you help me go the distance? Hello God, hello, hello. This old world has gone to pieces. Can we fix it? Is there time? Hate and violence just increases. We're so selfish, cruel and blind. We fight and kill each other in your name, defending you. Do you love some more than others? We're so lost and confused. Hello, God, are you out there? Can you hear us? Are you listening anymore? Hello.
So how would God like us to pray properly? Well, it just so happens that I received a very interesting letter through my letterbox. It was headed, A Letter from God, and it didn't have any signature at the bottom. Maybe he just forgot. Anyway, I'll read it to you as I found it myself. You do not have to be clever to please me. All you have to do is want to love me. Just speak to me as you would to anyone of whom you're very fond. Are there any people you want to pray for? Say their names to me and ask for as much as you like. I am generous and know their needs, but I want you to show your love for them and me by trusting me to do what I know is best. Tell me about the poor, the sick, and the sinners. And if you've lost the friendship or affection of anyone, tell me about that too. Is there anything you want for your soul? If you like, you can write out a long list of all your needs and come and read it to me. Just tell me about your pride, your touchiness, self-centeredness, meanness, and laziness. Do not be ashamed. There are many saints in heaven who've had the same faults as you, and they prayed to me, and little by little their faults were corrected. Don't hesitate to ask me for blessings for body and mind, for health, memory, success. I can give everything, and always do give everything needed to make souls holier. What is it that you want today? Tell me, I long to do you good. What are your plans? Tell me about them. Is there anyone you want to please? What do you want me to do for them? And don't you want to do anything for me? Don't you want to do a little good to the souls of your friends who have perhaps forgotten me? Tell me about your failures. I'll show you the cause of them. What are your worries? Who has caused you pain? Tell me about it, and add that you will forgive and forget, and I will bless you. Are you afraid of anything? Have you any tormenting, unreasonable fears? Trust yourself to me. I'm here. I see everything. I will not leave you. Have you no joys to tell me about? Why do you not share your happiness with me? Tell me what has happened since yesterday to cheer you and comfort you. Whatever it was, however big, however small, I prepared it. Show me your gratitude and thank me. Are you determined to run into no temptations? Have you made up your mind about bad books and bad friendships? They disturb the peace of your soul. Are you going to be kind to that one who has hurt you? Anyway, whatever it is, feel free to come any time with anything. This is a meditation from Thais by Massenet. It takes us beyond words and rabbiting away in our prayers to just being still and knowing that He is God, like two lovers sitting looking into each other's eyes. My favourite poem about prayer is this one. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted joy and beauty, but the day was grey and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "You didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. One of my favourite heroes with regard to prayer is Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and his brother Charles Wesley, who wrote over 8,000 hymns, which is a world record. She had 19 children in total. Living nearly 300 years ago, she had no washing machine, no electricity, no modern gadgets. The family lived in just two rooms. In the face of all that, she found time to pray every day, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, and even sometimes in the middle of the day. She got privacy by putting her apron over her head. When she did that, the children were not allowed to interrupt her or make a noise. If anyone came to the door, the children were trained to say, "I'm sorry, but Mum is in a meeting with God." Also like the story about Lord Northcliffe. He was in danger of becoming blind. He went to his optician, and after many examinations, the optician and the doctors between them concluded that his eyes were okay. He'd just been overworking in the office, and he'd become short-sighted with the reading of scripts. They said, "All you need to cure you is to get out and look up at the night sky and look at the stars for a while." What a parable of life, isn't it? Here's some quotes about prayer. "Ask and you will receive," said Jesus. Psalm 46, "Be still and know that he is God." 1 Timothy, "I will that people pray everywhere." John Bunyan said, "If you're not a praying person, you're not a Christian." Acts 2, "All the disciples with one accord devoted themselves to prayer." Hudson Taylor, the missionary in China, said, "The only way the church will move forwards is on its knees." Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." "The family that prays together stays together." How about this from Dr. J. Edwin Orr in his book, Prayer Can Move Mountains? He was quoting that a long time ago in America, there was moral decline and church decline. Out of only 5 million population in America at the time, there were 300,000 alcoholics. One church records that it did not have a single new member in 16 years, and that wasn't unusual. Christianity seemed all but dead. Then a Mr. Backhouse wrote in a national newspaper pleading with Christians to start praying together for the revival of America. The churches knew that their backs were to the wall, and they started praying. It often takes extreme circumstances to make folk pray, doesn't it? Soon there was an amazing revival. In Kentucky, for example, it was reported that 11,000 people attended one communion service. Out of this revival came the abolition of slavery, education for all, and a whole new missionary movement. Edwin Orr also speaks about the 1904 Welsh revival, in which there were 100,000 converts. There were also some unexpected side effects, such as no rapes, no robberies, and a dramatic fall in the crime rate. Police were unemployed, left to do nothing but sing quartets at church socials. Pubs went bankrupt. Coal mines came to a standstill. The coal mines came to a standstill because the pit ponies couldn't understand instructions which didn't include swearing. Illegitimate births were down 40%, and so on. God is true to his word. "If my people, called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Listen to this poem. "Tomorrow," he faithfully promised, "tomorrow for revival I'll pray. Tomorrow I'll plead as I ought to. I'm busy, too busy today. Tomorrow I'll spend in my closet. Tomorrow I will humbly bow. Yet ever a voice kept whispering, but the church is languishing now." Let's hear a song, Spirit of the Living God, as a prayer that God would revive us and through us, our nation and our world.
Spirit of the living God,
So our time is nearly up, so as a last thing to say, let's consider some hints and tips about praying. Everybody has to work out their own way of doing it, but here's a few suggestions. Set aside a special time and place each day for prayer. Work hard at keeping it. Try and make it the same time, the same place if you can. The force of habit will then help you. Combine prayer and Bible reading. It's meant to be a conversation both ways, so have the Word of God coming to you and respond to it. It helps spark a dialogue. Get into a comfortable position so you can concentrate without any distractions. Not too comfortable, of course, or you'll fall asleep. Consciously remind yourself that God is here. Meditate upon that thought till it really sinks in. Then be natural, don't be clever. Do your private praying in secret, as Jesus said. Be upfront, honest, and direct. Don't be long-winded. Be sincere. Martin Luther said, "Don't lie to God," you know, as if we could. Prayer consists of praising, confessing, asking, thanking. The Lord's Prayer is a good model. Why not start with that or finish with that? Make use of other people's prayers. You can read books of prayers. Tell God what's ever on your mind, even complaints against him. He doesn't mind the odd bashing of his knees. And be silent as well as speak. Let God get a word in. You can pray with a newspaper, just as you would over a breakfast table. Did you see that? And discuss it with somebody. Discuss it with him. You can pray off a photographic album. Pray for your loved ones looking at their photograph. You can pray off the newspaper or magazines. You can pray using music. See, there are different types of people. There are touch people, sound people, sight people. Whatever stimulates you, use that. Some people like to fiddle with something in their hand. You could have the rosary the Roman Catholics use. You could have a cork in your hand and think about bobbing about. You could have smells. All sorts of different ways. There's 1,001 ways. That's what makes it exciting and fresh and personal. And you can vary it. It is a skill and it's worth developing. But I think you reach the ultimate in prayer when it's two people spending quality time, even beyond words, just communing together. One day in heaven, we'll all be gathered together with God in the midst, and that's what we'll be doing. So I leave you now. You can't top the Lord's Prayer. So here is the Lord's Prayer, sung by Don Francisco. Till the next time, bye for now.
Us from every evil. the kingdom and the power are yours forever. The kingdom and the power are yours forever. The kingdom, the power and the glory are yours forever. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed and worshiped your name. May your kingdom come and your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us all our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from every evil. For the kingdom and the power are yours forever. The kingdom and the power yours forever. The kingdom and the power and the glory.